So lay up your treasures in heaven. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Bree. And Jim, if I could get you to lock the doors before we start this talk on money. I want to make sure nobody leaves. Just kidding. Everybody loves a good church talk on money, that's for sure. So, you know, this message is definitely for you. If you are here and you live in this country, this message today is for you. I know a lot of times we come and we hear a message and we think, man, I wish so-and-so was here because they sure needed to hear that today. I'm telling you today, you need to hear what Jesus has to say to his church this morning, because especially in our culture and really everywhere around the world, it's easy to get drawn into a lifestyle of materialism or into a habit of hoarding everything that we have for ourselves and wanting to keep more for ourselves than we give away for kingdom's sake. And that's true not just of regular folks, right? Even of really spiritual folks, even folks who might work in the life of a church. So true story, there was a priest, a rabbi, and a Baptist minister. And I was going to tell you the one where they walk into the bar, and the bartender says, wait, what is this, a joke? But I knew that wouldn't fly, so I'm not going to mention that one. Instead, these three guys were out on the golf course, and they were playing a round of golf together. And eventually, the topic of money comes up. And so the rabbi, he eventually steps up, and he says, you know, I have this thing that I do at the end of every month. I take all of the collections that have come into the life of the church, and I take them into the back room. And what I do is I draw a big circle on the ground, and then I take all that cash and I throw it up into the air. And whatever lands inside of the circle, I keep for me. And whatever lands outside of the circle, that's what I give to the Lord. And so they were like, oh, wow, that's interesting. And the priest goes, actually, you know, I have a very similar practice. I take all that same money and I take it into the bag and I throw it into the air. And whatever falls into the circle, that's what I have for the Lord. And whatever outside of the circle, that's what I keep for myself. And then, of course, the Baptist minister goes, well, I guess we're all pretty similar. Mine's a little different. I take that money in the back, and I toss it all in the air. And whatever the Lord wants, he keeps for himself. And whatever falls back down to the ground, I keep for me. And so a lot of times we can spiritualize our greediness, right? We can say, this is mine, this is the Lord's, and we can kind of separate those things, and we can give a pass to materialism because it's really easy for us to be blind to it, especially in the culture that we live in. But Jesus' message to us today about our kingdom perspective on possessions doesn't allow for that. And so if we're able to see that, then we should make sure that we have a shift in the way that we think about this, and the Holy Spirit can empower us to take some steps down this road to be freed up from wrong thinking in this area and to think more biblically. And automatically in our flesh, we might think, oh, wow, that would be hard and challenging. The Lord can help me do that. And I'm here today to let you know that in our flesh, it might seem like taking a step away from materialism might be something that would be tough for you. But really, the spiritual reward that you get when you see God provide and meet your needs and surprise you and bless you as you become a conduit for what he has given you, and as you become a blessing to others, you've been blessed to be a blessing, that the reward will be far greater than you can imagine if you would have just kept all that money or possessions or time or talent for yourself. And so today, as we go back over these verses, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24, there's three questions that we want to ask ourselves in these three sections, and that is, what does my heart treasure most? What does my heart treasure most? How do I view my valuables? How do I see those things? And then finally, which Savior am I serving? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word, and God, thank you for illuminating it to us today by the power of your Spirit. I pray that you would help us to see how we're operating, and Lord, I pray that you would help us to see how you want us to operate in your kingdom, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You know, Jesus came to this earth and began his ministry. And right away, the very first thing that Scripture tells us when he began that is he began to preach saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why was he saying that? Because the king himself had arrived, and therefore the kingdom was at hand. And he continued that ministry, and the Bible tells us that he went throughout Galilee. And what did he do as he was traveling throughout Galilee? It tells us that he was proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. The good news about the kingdom is what he was going around and he was telling everybody about it. And so as you read the book of Matthew, and let me encourage you to even read it all the way through in one setting again, that was a really helpful thing for me and my family to do. And I think for all of us to go back and go, wow, look how often he talks about this kingdom way of living and being his people. And then we got into the Sermon on the Mount, and he talks about the Beatitudes, and he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What he's saying is that if you become, and you, at some point in your life, spiritually bankrupt, realizing that you have nothing to bring to the table, and you are poor in spirit and broken, that's actually when you can become wealthy, because yours is the kingdom of heaven, because you realize that you're not coming to the table with all of the answers and all the solutions, that you could never be good enough to be in the kingdom, but that you come open-handed, then yours is the kingdom of heaven. So we're building this idea in our mind, or this picture in our mind, of what it looks like for us to be citizens of this kingdom, because it's not something that you could possibly pick up in just one lesson or one sitting. And so we begin to build this out. Ultimately, as we're in the Sermon on the Mount, if there was one key to the Sermon on the Mount, it would be Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, where Jesus is talking and he says, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And so what he's saying is that entrance into this kingdom is not through self-righteousness, through legalism, through checking the box, going through the motions, but it's a righteousness that is gifted to you from God, and your eyes are open and you're able to live more and more as a citizen of this kingdom by the power of God. And so that's a little snapshot of kingdom living for us this morning. And so let's get into that first question. What does my heart treasure most? Because there is something that your heart is ultimately attracted to, drawn to. You may not see it real clearly. You might not ask yourself this question on a regular basis, but I would contend that we should certainly ask this question. What does my heart treasure most? Verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So Jesus, first of all, in verse 19 is saying that earthly treasures are temporary. And so here you are, he's on the side of this mount on the north shore of Galilee, and he's given this Sermon on the Mount, and he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, which is kind of baffling, right? Especially for us to go, wait, now does that mean not to store up, not to save for retirement, not to prepare for tomorrow? Because don't other places in the scripture, like in the book of Proverbs, encourage us to be hardworking and to saving and to put aside something for a hard day. Yes, actually it does. But what Jesus is getting at here in this section is the heart of the matter. And really what this verse is saying is that we don't want to treasure our treasure. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. And so he's talking about the fact that it is our tendency to hoard, to really keep for ourselves more than we actually need, and to really think that we actually need more than we do because we're not relying on our daily bread from the Lord, right? Like we should be praying, give us this day our daily bread. Instead, we take that dependency upon ourselves a lot of times and say, no, I've got to do this. I've got to make this happen. And therefore, I've got to have more and more and more. I've heard it said that John D. Rockefeller, at the turn of the century, not this latest century, but the one prior, was the richest man on the planet. In fact, I've heard it said that, you know, according to the standards of the dollar value of that day, his wealth would actually surpass, if you were to put Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk and Bill Gates' money together, that he was wealthier than those three combined, which is kind of crazy. And so one day a reporter asked him, Mr. Rockefeller, how much money is enough? And his response was pretty simple and quick. Just a little bit more. That's how much money. You know, a survey was done where they asked people, how much money would it take for you to be happy, for you to be content, for you to feel safe? And across the board, the percentage amount was about the same. It was actually double what people were making. So it was all coming right around that same percentage point. So if that person made $20,000 a year, they would say, what it would take for me to be happy, healthy, content, feel safe would be $40,000 a year. But if that person made $75,000 a year, any math wizards in here? We got a math guy right here. They would say, you know what? $150,000. That's what it would take for me to feel safe and secure and like my life was settled. So no matter where you are in life and no matter what your income looks like, always a little bit more seems to be the cry of our hearts, is that we could save that thing up. But Jesus is saying, don't lay it up for yourselves on earth, right? Your heart as a kingdom citizen shouldn't be that my heart is here on this planet and that I have to hoard and save as much as I possibly can, because Jesus says that eventually all that stuff's going to get eaten up. Moth, rust are going to destroy it. Thieves are going to break in and steal. And so in those days, the banking system wasn't huge like it is today, or maybe you're into credit unions. Whatever the case may be, they didn't have a safe, trusted place to store their money. So a lot of times their goods were kept in what they would actually say, like the three G's, right? It would be in garments and in goods and in gold, or garments, grain, and gold. And so, believe it or not, clothing was really expensive back then. And so the normal person had one, maybe two changes of clothing, and that was it. But people that had more money would buy nicer clothing, and sometimes they would even have gold weaved into their clothing as a way of keeping their money safe, because it was always with them, right, wherever they went. And so Jesus is saying, hey, no matter how awesome your closet is, guess what? Eventually, the moths are going to eat it up. It's just temporary. It's not going to last forever. They say that the average American throws away about 50 of clothes per year. So for us, we're doing the same thing, right? We're saving up, getting that money, getting that clothing, and then throwing it away. They also say that 1 in 10 Americans has off-site storage. That is, we've accumulated so much goods fit in our house, and we've got to keep it somewhere else just in case we ever need it again. And the rust destroys. So that rust destroys is just talking about the fact that something's going to be eating at it. It's going to be corroding. It could also refer to like vermin or rats that are just chewing away at something. And so if you're saving up your money back then in grain, just realize that the rats are going to eat some portion of that. And eventually when you're gone, it's all going to be gone. It's all going to spoil. It's all going to go bad. And thieves are going to break in and steal. So a lot of times people lived in houses that were made out of clay bricks and stuff. And it was known that people would claw their way through and break into people's houses and take the belongings because they knew that they kept their gold there buried somewhere in their house. Now, your house today might not be made out of clay. Any clay house people here today? Not so much. But guess what? Houses still get broken into today. And I don't care how many Ring doorbells you got going on. People just don't care, right? They'll come right up and take your stuff no matter what. And if you've got it somewhere and you think you're safe and secure, guess what? We all know that the economy, it goes through some ups and downs. Right now, it's really great. But eventually, all right. But eventually, inflation could go up or the stock market could crash and your money might not be as worth as much as you think. And then eventually, even ourselves are temporary. And we don't like to think about this a lot, but we're going to pass away from this earth. And so if we store up our treasure for ourselves, then eventually all of that's going to be gone and we'll have wasted our lives. In fact, the book of Luke tells us a story about a rich man that was saving up for himself, and he was keeping his money, a lot of it, in grain. And he became so wealthy that he began to hoard more and more and more, and eventually his barns were completely filled up and they were bursting at the seams. So instead of becoming more generous and giving away because he couldn't possibly spend or use all that wealth on himself, instead what he says is, you know what, I'm going to tear these barns down and I'm going to build even bigger barns. I'm going to accumulate as much wealth as I possibly can. And Jesus tells us that that man was actually a fool. Why was he a fool? Because that night his life was required of him. That night he left this planet and everything that he left behind was completely gone. That will happen to you and to me. That has hit me here recently as I've been downstairs in our history room. We are working on a documentary here at the church, basically a 120-year history of the church here. We're doing a video documentary of it. And so I've been spending some time downstairs, and I've been going through all the former pastors of the church, and there was quite a few of them. And they had some great accomplishments. And as I'm going through pastors that were pastoring here back in 1915, 1920, into the First World War, into the Great Depression, World War II, I realized that none of you know their names, right? There's nobody here. Who can tell me who the pastor was at Belmont in 1920? Not you, Jim Howell. What was that? No, not John Fox. So, I realize that none of you know their names. And I'm one of the pastors, right? And I'm like looking at all these names and I'm going through. And I start to have this midlife crisis while I'm down in the history room going, you know what? In one way, this is really good, because I remember something that Jason Rain shared with me a while back about how the kingdom is not all about you and how it's a continual thing that God's doing throughout the ages, and we play our part. But then in a human way, I'm also thinking, man, I'll be dead and gone before too long. And I actually started to sing this song down there. I was making up a song on the spot, and I was like, I'll be dead and gone before too long. Just thinking, I'm going to be dead and gone, and no one's going to remember. My old picture down there will be shoved away in a closet, put into a storage room somewhere, and nobody is going to remember my contributions, and even likely my own children, and definitely my own great-grandchildren won't know my name. It is very likely that your great-grandchildren will never know your first name. Why am I belaboring this first point? I'm trying to hit it home to us that this life is so temporary. The things that we have, the air that we breathe, it's all temporary, and it's of this world's kingdom and not the kingdom of heaven. And so Jesus is trying to help the folks that are listening to his message grasp that and realize that. Kingdom treasures are forever, though, he says. lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. And so he's encouraging everyone that's listening to make sure that the treasures that you're laying up are eternal. That, yes, you need to provide for your family. Yes, you need some bread to eat. Yes, you need to save up a little bit for tomorrow. But it's really dangerous and easy to head into a lifestyle of hoarding and keeping in excess and not being able to have a lifestyle that's trusting God. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know what the truth is that your treasure tells the truth. Your treasure and your heart, they're together somewhere. They're not going to be separated. What's most important to you in your heart is what you treasure the most. And so if you spend a lot of time checking your bank account and checking your savings and your investment and you worry about that nonstop and your life is consumed with that, then likely that is where your treasure is. And Jesus is beginning to unwind this thread and pull this thing out, asking us, what is it that we treasure the most? The second question in the passage is this: how do I view my valuables? So we have to consider our hearts in this situation and what it is that we're settled on and what it is that we treasure the most. But we also need to ask ourselves, how do I view my valuables? So verse 22 says this: the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And so Jesus gives us a physical metaphor to describe a spiritual reality. Because the fact of the matter is that as we read this, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. He's just saying that the way that you view the world, it kind of goes in order, right? Where your heart is affects your treasure, what your treasure is, and your treasure gives away what your heart condition is. And then the way that you see the world is also another indicator of where your heart is, because we all view the world in a certain way, either in the light of the truth or in the darkness of unreality. And Jesus is saying, you need to make sure that your eye is healthy and not unhealthy. This is a Hebrew idiom that they would use. It can seem a little complicated or confusing to us today, but having a good eye means that you have a good perspective of God and understand that He owns everything. Having a bad eye makes you think that you are the source of your wealth and your blessings. And so we all have heard that before. I mean, you've certainly all heard about that person gave me the stink eye, right? I got a stink eye this morning from Darius. I was pulling in the parking lot with Levi and he was sitting in his car and I just said, watch this. I'm going to see how close I can get to Darius's car. And he was sitting in the car. I bet you he was talking on the phone to Jamanda. And he looked up and gave me the stink eye and Levi pointed out, he's like, man, he just gave you a look. And I'm like, hey, I apologize, brother. I'm sorry. I was just goofing around. But we all understand good eye, bad eye in that sense. But the reality is that we all see the world in a certain kind of way. And how we grow up and the culture that we live in affects how we see things. And the fact of the matter is that this is a topic that is really hard for us to see correctly. Because if I talk about materialism and hoarding and keeping too much for ourselves, it is really hard for anyone here to raise their hand and say, I'll be honest, that's me. I'll be honest, I do spend too much on myself. Our natural reaction in this area of life is to think about other people who are wealthier or more well-to-do than we are, and to think, no, actually, I live a pretty modest lifestyle. I know this is true because I've been a pastor for a long time, and I've had many counseling sessions where people come and they'll talk to me and say, hey, I want to talk to you because I have a sin struggle in my life. I'm struggling with lust and I feel convicted about that. Or, hey, we're having problems in our marriage and we understand that our anger toward each other is not honoring to God. And we really want to confess that and get some help and get some counseling. And all kinds of different sins that people will bring and confess because it weighs on them. Never once has anybody knocked on my door or given me a call and say, Pastor, I really want to talk to you because I'm struggling with materialism. I love my stuff and I can't let it go. But Jesus talks about money, it's been said, more than he talks about any other subject. I think in part because it's such a revealer of where our heart truly is. And so I hope that not through by what I'm saying, but what the Holy Spirit is doing in your heart today, that you would be willing to wrestle with this and say, what is it that I have? And would I just be willing to give that to the Lord and say, God, show me where I'm being too extravagant and hoarding for myself and where I can be more kingdom-minded and have a kingdom perspective on my possessions and release those things to you. When I was in school, I had a professor named Dr. Carson, and Dr. Carson was completely blind. He could not see a single ray of light, and he was my New Testament professor, and this guy was a trip, right? They called him the wheel because that man was just always on the move. His blindness did not slow him down, and we had some new students move to town, and they realized that they just lived a couple of houses down from Dr. Carson. And so they're like, oh, that's really neat. I live right down the road from that guy. And every time they would drive by his house, they would like look over and see if they could see him and maybe go talk to him. And they never did. And even at night when they would drive by there, all the lights would be off. And they started to worry, like, is Dr. Carson okay? And so they talked to another professor at the school and they're like, hey, I'm just a little worried. I haven't seen him around lately. And really, every time I go by there, especially at night, there's no lights on. So we just wonder if Dr. Carson still lives there. Did he move? Is he in the hospital? What's going on? And the other professor just laughed and they're like, you know, Dr. Carson is blind, right? He doesn't need lights. So at night, because his physical eyes were unhealthy, then it didn't matter what his surroundings were. What really mattered was his spiritual heart, right? And with the condition of that, and the fact that anybody else would have walked into that situation would have been sitting around and blind themselves in that situation. But that same thing is true for us, is that we can be people that have actual physical sight, but be blind physically and be stumbling around. It does matter what the light is around you and around me. And I just want us to be willing to go, Lord, am I blind? Do I have a blind spot in this area? Am I living in the darkness? Am I refusing to turn on some lights so that I could see my way around? And that light for us today are these words of Jesus. And so I pray that we would continue as we make our way through this passage to push into that. How can we tell how we view our valuables, what our eyesight is like? That's a great question, and that can be a tough one to begin to turn on some of those lights. One way is just to ask yourself some questions, right? Like, am I a content person? And maybe ask somebody else, maybe ask your spouse, maybe ask a close friend, would you say that I'm content? Or am I the kind of person that is always looking for something else to fulfill me? Do I always have to have the next new gadget? Do I always have to have the newest clothes? Do I always have to have the best house? Am I content with what God has given me? Here's another tricky question. Am I happy for other people when God blesses them? What is your first reaction when you see that another family got a nice new car or a new boat or a place at a lake? My first reaction is to become really good friends with those people, right? Because I want to go to the lake. But if your response a lot of times is like, why is God blessing them? Or it must be nice to have all that. Oh, you can't hide that money. That is a telltale sign that the way that you view the kingdom is more selfish and self-centered and not open-handed and giving and happy for other people. You know, another way to change your view on things is to go on a mission trip, right? Is to get some perspective on how the rest of the world is. Because we can live inside of a bubble and think that we're only comparing ourselves to exactly the people that are around us. Jason, were you a missionary in Tanzania? And you were in Tanzania as well, right? So I want you guys to catch up after service. I figured that out this week. And so you guys both spent a couple of times in Tanzania, a super wealthy country, right? No, a very, poverty is really evident there. And it's really helpful and insightful to go on a short-term mission trip to get out of your comfort zone and into a place where other people are not as blessed or fortunate as you are, financially speaking. And you could even do that here locally. You don't need to go across the ocean to see that. Let me encourage you to be a blessing this week to somebody who has a need. And that is a way for God to begin to flip some lights on in your lives to help you see how you actually view things, but also to change your perspective and on how you view those things. Question three, which Savior am I serving? Nobody can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Which Savior am I serving? What do you mean by that? What I mean is that a lot of times we see money or treat money as a functional Savior. We could come to a place like this and say, Jesus is my Savior. I can even sing a song about it. But then we could leave here and then Monday through Saturday treat money or success or achievement as our real Savior because we're counting on that for everything that we need in life, including our identity and how we compare ourselves to other people and where we place ourselves in the social strata and how we feel around other people when we're around someone that has less than we do or that might have more than we do. And then we can begin to realize that I'm treating that as a Savior or as a master. So in this passage, Jesus is kind of personifying wealth or money or mammon as a master. He's taking this idea and saying, all right, it's a master in your life. And we all know that money is a terrible master, right? It's a terrible master that's not satisfied. And so it can enslave us and make us do whatever it wants us to do. Capture our hearts, capture our sight and how we view things. No one can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other. Well, Pastor, I would never hate God. But Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commandments, right? So when we love the created things more than the creator, that is like hate for the creator to say, my heart is captured by materialism and by stuff, and I just can't get enough, and no matter how much I save, I'll never be satisfied. My heart is always after those things. And the way I view the world is in that very short-term kind of a way. And I hope that one day I'll be in this kingdom of heaven, but I have to have all of this stuff right now. And Jesus says, that is like hate for me because you can't serve two masters. You're either going to hate the one and love the other, or you're going to be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot give your life's devotion to chasing after achievement and make that your entire life goal and at the same time be truly devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not possible. And you think in that moment that you are winning, that you're achieving, and that you are producing fruit. But the Bible says that it's actually much better not to have all that stuff and have Jesus and have real fruit than it is to win at life, right? What good is it if a man gains the whole entire world and loses his own soul? What good is it if you won at the money game and you became the wealthiest person that's ever lived on the planet, and then you died and left it all behind? It's worth absolutely nothing. You cannot serve God and wealth simultaneously. It's not a sin to be wealthy. It's a sin to be owned by your wealth. Some of the greediest people I've ever met have been very poor people. So this doesn't just apply to people who make a certain dollar amount, because you could have 50 bucks in your bank account or $500,000 in your bank account, and on one hand you could be the most generous and loving and giving and kingdom-minded person that you've ever seen, and on the other hand, with very little, you could be greedy and hoarding and selfish and not sharing whatsoever. And what Jesus cares about most in this situation is that as a citizen of his kingdom, that your heart is aligned with his when it comes to how you view the possessions that he has blessed you with. My prayer for us today is that what we would treasure the most is the treasure of heaven. It's Jesus. That he would be our greatest treasure, and that our worship of him as our king would far surpass any of the treasure that we could accumulate temporarily here on this earth. My prayer for us today is that we would change the way that we see our stuff. And that's going to take some work, right? That means maybe going home and taking a look at your stuff, at your closet, at your giveaway pile, at the stuff that you don't even use anymore, and saying, what am I doing with all of this stuff? And maybe picking that stuff up and go, is this making me happy? Man, this made me happy that first 48 hours, right? And then after that, it just became old news, and it wasn't as fulfilling as I hoped it would be. And maybe God will prompt you to give some of that stuff away. And that'll actually be a blessing to your heart and a treasure. And then my prayer is that we would examine which Savior we are serving. That we wouldn't see our status as what is security. That we would see Jesus as our only salvation, as our only hope, and that we wouldn't hold on to money at all in that regard. You know, Jesus had this same attitude when he was on the cross. The Bible tells us that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, because he was looking ahead to what was to come. So he wasn't thinking about just the temporary, he was thinking about and what was to come. Are you giving that to me?
All right. Yeah, we're a very frugal church. We don't like to spend money on microphones. It's just stuff, you know what I mean? It's not my Savior. So, which Savior am I serving? Man, we got to do some heart searching on that. We got to figure out if we're trying to serve two masters or if we're really going to be kingdom people that say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And if that means I have less stuff, but I have more joy and I have more Jesus, then I'll take more Jesus. Jesus left the treasures of heaven and he came to this earth. He could have stayed where he was. He had all the gold. He had all the glory. He had all the garments, right? He left all that behind, and he died on this planet a homeless and naked man with nothing to show, humanly speaking, for the time that he had invested here. But eternally speaking, he has everything because his kingdom has been established, and he's made a way for you and I as broken, foodless, breadless beggars to be able to have a way into the kingdom of God. And that's not a way, there's not a way on this planet that we can buy our way into that. No matter how much money you have, no matter how smart you think you are and how much money you've saved, none of that is impressing Jesus whatsoever. And so please, God, help us to see that all of us, myself included, have an addiction to material things. And that we need to be a people that are so generous that it begins to gather attention, not for that reason, but that we would just be a people that are so generous that it doesn't make sense to our neighbors, it doesn't make sense to our community, and people would go, why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you giving away? Why are you being so generous, not just with your resources and your money, but with your time and your talent and spending money with people or spending time with people who are in a different class than you are, financially speaking. Because we know that God treasures those people. The soul of a man, you can't put a price tag on that. So instead of us spending money on ourselves and our entertainment, let us spend our lives being kingdom people, living radical lives for God's kingdom. And when we do that, we will then be the happiest of all people. We'll have the most joy of all people. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would continue to open our eyes and give us your perspective on our possessions, God. Lord, that we would, by the power of your Spirit, be willing and able to have our eyes open to see how we're truly living and what the condition of our heart truly is. And God, I pray that this week, all of us need work. So Lord, I pray that this week, day by day, that we'd be willing to put this topic before you, and that item by item, piece by piece, and more importantly, every square inch of our heart would be turned over to you, and that you would rip away those things that are our false saviors, fake masters. Lord, that we would kick those things to the curb, and that we could be fully devoted to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.